ministry in the church can be life-giving and life-changing. And in the midst of it, we all need faithful companions along the road. Welcome to Along the Road, a podcast on faith and leadership for ministry leaders of the PCUSA.
So you're a church leader serving as a ruling elder or a deacon, but you also have almost a dozen other roles: sibling, parent, friend, biker, landscape architect, chauffeur, builder, grocer, fill in the blank. Come join us in the midst of your day, wherever you are, to be inspired in your role in the church, become nourished, and renew your call. Formation as a leader doesn't happen all at once, so let's walk along this road together. I'm Martha Miller, and I'm excited to travel on this journey with you. On the podcast today is Andrew Miller. One of Andrew's roles is pastor of First Presbyterian Church of Mount Pleasant, Michigan. Well, Miller is not an uncommon last name. We do share it, and it just so happens that we are married. So welcome to the show, Andrew.
Thank you.
As a pastor, you work with many church leaders. In fact, I know you intentionally introduce yourself as the pastor and specify that all the members, therefore, are ministers. Definitely showing that we all have a responsibility for ministry. How does this play out, or does it, in the ministry in which you're engaged?
I think it's important that we remember that everyone's a minister. God has given each of us unique gifts and talents to be able to share with others. And that's an important part of why we are all considered ministers.
Are there ways that you're helping church leaders in this particular call to serve as ministers and as they're in the process of their own formation and leadership?
One way I do this is ever so often, pre-COVID. We haven't gotten back into the swing of things since COVID, but the goal is to begin again is something that I call sermon as a conversation, which is an act of learning that on a Sunday morning, a sermon is not necessarily preached from the pulpit, but it's active learning within the congregation, and people are in small groups listening to the scripture and responding to questions, and they're able to ask questions also of the text.
So it sounds almost or kind of similar to a Lectio Divina, if folks may be familiar with that. Is that true? Is it sort of a rendition of that?
It is. So the scripture is read three times throughout the service with questions in between the readings. And the first one is to simply just listen to the words. And the second time around, we ask people to think about the word or phrase that may pop off the page or come to their ear. And they have discussion in their small groups about the words and phrases. And then I usually have some sort of a discussion question for the next reading that pertains to the scripture itself, plus tie in, how does that also help us build disciples, or something about our faith journey or faith in itself? And then there's a question I give the opportunity after that discussion if groups have questions of the text themselves. And sometimes I feel like I'm on the spot because I never know what kind of question may be thrown out. And I may have never thought about that question before, but it's always interesting, the question and the conversation we have with one another, knowing that we're all learners and teachers at this point in our discussion. And then the final question I always give is, if someone's preaching this text, what would that group come up with as a sermon title? And that's a way to be able to succinctly put the scripture or their conversation in a brief one-point way of looking at things, and hopefully they were able to learn something. I've learned with this sermon as a conversation that there's much more discussion following the sermon as well. Throughout the whole week, people continue to talk about the sermon as a conversation than a traditional sermon or reflection that I usually do on a Sunday morning.
So it occurs to me that a lot of worshipers who are coming to the service are used to listening to a sermon, sitting back and listening for what the preacher is saying and what the preacher has learned and is interpreting. How has the response been to those who aren't used to doing this in-depth process during the service themselves?
I've been surprised how well it's been received, especially from first-time visitors who say, wow, this is something different. I don't know if I would have felt comfortable knowing before I came if I wanted to do this, but it was enlightening and I learned something. And it gave me the ability to also be a part of the process to come up with what maybe I could think of about the scripture lesson of the day.
It also occurs to me that it forms some community as well, that I think a lot of us are in congregations where the pews face forward. And so we tend to be looking at the backs of somebody's head or maybe their profile if they're sitting next to us. But this also gives worshipers a chance to get to know each other and to have the conversation and learn from each other as well.
Correct. I would love to be able to have a movable sanctuary where we could have tables or chairs for this type of worship service. But we have nailed down pews, but it still works. People still are able to get into groups and turn and twist and are able to form relationship and community in groups of 3 to 5 people.
And it's great to, I think, for folks to think about how even if the atmosphere that they have isn't exactly for the way that they want it, that there are different ways that it can be worked with as well.
As well, it's also a reminder to the people in the congregation that pastor, trained, or paid individual, they don't have all the answers. That the people in the pews also have the gifts and the education to be able to share and put their input in as well.
Definitely. I'm aware that much of our listening audience may not be responsible for planning or preparing the sermon during a worship service each week. Like you do, they may not have direct input on the style or the format. While ruling elders certainly do have responsibilities related to worship and may also serve as leaders within or even preach occasionally, I think there certainly are many ways that this can be used as we serve in our ministry as ruling elders and as deacons. This style could be part of our individual study, our personal devotion, or it could be part of a session meeting, a way we start off the gathering or with a meeting of the deacons, or even a committee meeting. It could be used with a Sunday school class or a women's group, a men's coffee, or a youth group that we lead. I think the main learning is that we as church leaders have ability and responsibility to dive into the scripture and to listen for ways that God may be speaking to us. And this may happen in different ways. Listening for things that we can hear and things that we can learn, ways that we can live into our call to serve as God's people. One of the things that I remember when you were installed as the pastor of First Presbyterian was that you were given a gift for ministry that wasn't a traditional installation gift, such as a stole, for instance. Instead, it was a fleece jacket, a tool for ministry to wear out into the community because you were being called beyond the walls of one particular congregation, I guess, is a way to say it. I think the same could be true for those serving as ruling elders and deacons, and that's one of the things that we try to highlight in this podcast related to ecclesial formation. You've been serving in the community with deacons and ruling elders. Is there anything that has helped you reflect on and learn as well?
Yes, I think it helped me and it helps our congregation realize that we need to look outward and not always inward. And Jesus was more in the world than in the synagogue. Jesus was out with the people, out in the community. So I think we as a community of faith need to set that example. And I think it says something when we're out in the community, being able to be the people God calls us to be and not always within our four walls of of a sanctuary.
So I think a couple of the highlights maybe that are important through this conversation is thinking about how church leaders can be different ways that they can be involved worship-wise. And you certainly are doing that in one particular way as a pastor, but there are, you know, lots of ways that ruling elders and deacons can be involved. And that involvement in the community and outside of the church walls as well. That's great. Is there advice or words that you'd like to share with those who are serving in these important ministries throughout the larger church?
Yeah, sometimes you have to be vulnerable and take risk. There's always someone who's going to say this is a crazy idea, or it's going to make me feel uncomfortable, or it's going to make a visitor uncomfortable, or it's going to make the members of the church uncomfortable. But sometimes we have to try something different and not be afraid to change something or try something in order to grow. Maybe we can learn and think and hear a sermon or a reflection in a different way.
Yeah, and I think there are a lot of things to think about related to that. One of them being that everything doesn't always have to work perfectly. We can try things and maybe then adjust them or find out that they aren't the way to go and make a change. But also that idea that we don't want to be those people who this is the way we've always done it. And so being willing to take risks in our ministry as well.
Correct.
It has been a joy to have a conversation with you today. It's not often that Andrew and I talk together over Zoom, and we're doing so for the podcast today. So thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for sharing with us, Andrew, the many ways that you are fostering ecclesial formation through one particular congregation, but the way that those ripples also go through the community as well as the presbytery in which you are active and all the ways that the ruling elders and deacons serve. So thank you again.
You're quite welcome.
We hope that you have been nourished through this episode of Along the Road. You're invited to visit the website for PCUSA Leader Formation for additional nourishment for ruling elders and deacons. PCUSA.org/leader-formation.
This has been the Along the Road podcast. We look forward to crossing paths with you again soon.